You're being ridiculous. I was with friends. Open the door.
The lock beeped and the interior bolt slid. The door she leaned against moved slightly but held. It was enough to get her to open her eyes and stare up at the pad. It went from green to red, the bolt sliding home again. Anger suddenly surged and she turned her face into her shoulder, wiping it against her shirt to be rid of the tears. She'd always feared his lifestyle would get him killed. Just not like this. Whatever he was, whoever he'd become, he was still her dad. She had to at least give him a chance.
I'm not dressed, she lied. Give me a few minutes, Dad.
I've seen it all before. Open the door.
2 minutes.
She forced her body to move, standing and turning off the intercom. The cold metal of the rifle helped her stay calm. She went to the front cab where the security panel was, removing the key that controlled the shutters. She hoped he didn't have a spare as she pocketed it. The gun safe in the closet remained open and she went to it next. Her movements were jerky as she collected the weapons from their nesting places in pockets attached to the wall of the safe. She rested the rifle along the closet wall and strapped on a waist holster. The twin Smith & Wesson 380s were shoved into it after she flipped off the safeties and pushed in a cartridge for each one. Her hands didn't tremble when she lifted the rifle and closed the closet, not bothering to secure the concealed panel. There was nothing left inside to take. She approached the side door, taking calm, steady breaths. Her father grew impatient and slapped the door. The pad beeped as he punched in the code again to unlock the bolt. It scraped open, but the interior locks continued to hold. She paused by the door, fighting fear and the uncertainty of her actions.
This is so fucking stupid, she tried to reason with herself.
She reached out before she could change her mind and turned the intercom back on.
Dad, stand back, and once I unlock the door, count to 10 before you come in. Do you understand me? You don't want to scare me, do you?
Of course not, honey.
She wanted to believe him. One way or another, she needed to do this. She had to know if he was still her father or a fiend. Her grip on the assault rifle tightened as she hefted the first bar out of place. The second one she had to bend a little to reach. The interior bolts were easier to yank to the side, and she backed away quickly when the last one was pulled.
Come on in!
She didn't dare glance away from the door as she inched down the hallway, closer to the bedroom. She could always escape into it if need be. The beep was a menacing sound. The bolt slide, terrifying. This time, the door opened, fresh air pouring into the interior as it was thrown back wide. J.D. lifted the assault rifle, gripping it with both hands, pointing it at the darkness beyond the door. She located the trigger with her finger, resting it there. The white-haired man who slowly entered looked so familiar, but she noted the differences immediately as he stopped in the aisle, turning her way. His skin still looked weathered from the sun, but his complexion had become unusually pale, with dark veins showing. His normally sparkling blue eyes appeared duller. What used to be the whites of his eyes were bloodshot and appeared wrong. Evil. A soft moan sounded, and J.D. realized it had come from her. His gaze lowered, studying the rifle she held.
It's okay. You can put that down.
Close and lock the door, Dad.
He didn't move to do it.
You're safe. You don't have to point that gun at me.
Close and lock the door, she repeated.
He slowly lifted his hands out to his sides. She glanced at them, saw a lot of dirt and what appeared to be some dark red stains. It was possibly blood.
Easy, honey.
He took a step forward.
Don't, she ground out. I'll shoot you. Stay right there and lock that fucking door.
He didn't blink at all. The eerie way he stared at her was freaking her out. She glanced at his chest and saw that it moved, as if he breathed. It could have been force of habit, or perhaps vampires did need oxygen. She focused on his face again.
I want you to meet my friends. They aren't what we expected.
What happened to the people who lived in the nearby town? I heard they'd all disappeared by the time your team arrived. Where are they?
She backed up more, reaching the doorway to the bedroom.
You don't need to go in there and activate the safety door, JD.
She wasn't so sure.
Don't be afraid. We were wrong about them.
He took another step forward.
JD aimed the gun at his heart.
Don't come any closer.
His smile chilled her to the bone.
Bullets won't kill me.
Fear nearly overrode her anger.
I bet they'd hurt. She adjusted her aim, targeting his head.
And I'm pretty sure some of them tearing through your brain would slow you down.
Why did you let me in if you planned to shoot me, honey? I raised you to never point a gun unless you were willing to pull the trigger.
I needed to know if you were still you. You're not.
It broke her heart.
My dad would have locked that door so no one else could get at me. He would have gone to the cab area and stayed as far back from me as possible to make sure I felt safe.
I'm so sorry, Dad. I came as soon as I could get a flight, but I got here too late.
You're not too late. You're right on time. We're not gonna kill you, honey.
His repeated use of that endearment was becoming disturbing, but the use of we was worse.
I told Mitch all about you, and he needs someone at his side. I even showed him your picture from my wallet. He thinks you're beautiful.
JD tensed.
Who's Mitch?
He turned me and gave me eternal life. He's going to bestow that gift upon you, too. We'll be a family again.
She had a name for the bastard who had taken her father.
Where were you when the other ones attacked the roof and the door?
I thought you hadn't arrived yet, so I was waiting along the road with Mitch to welcome you. Then I heard the alarm. Mitch wants to meet you.
Where is he? I'd like to meet him, too.
He's outside, allowing me to calm you down. This doesn't have to hurt, honey. Put the guns down and we'll walk outside. He'll be gentle, and he promised to take good care of you. You need that. I always worry about you being alone.
How sweet. She swallowed down the bile that rose. Why don't you have him step in here and introduce himself? It's bright in here, so I can see better.
Her father turned his head, seeming to stare at something right outside the open doorway. Movement drew her attention, but she was careful not to allow it to distract her from her dad. He was a threat, and she couldn't forget that. The tall, thin man who climbed inside looked horrific. He had black, scruffy hair, a narrow, long, white face, and his black clothes were gothic. It might have been the way they were made, but the arms and legs of his pants and shirt had rips in them, revealing slices of white, skinny limbs. Dirt also covered his hands. Dead leaves were stuck to his clothing in a few places, as if he'd been digging or rolling in the dirt. She didn't even want to imagine why he'd do that. The top of his head nearly brushed the ceiling of the RV, putting him at about 6'4". In life, he'd probably been odd-looking with his lanky body. But he was horrific as a vampire. Bloodshot eyes met hers, and his thin lips curved upward. The dark veins on his face became more pronounced.
Hello, I'm Mitch. It's nice to meet you, JD. I've heard so much about you.
She saw the sharp tips of his fangs when he spoke. They scared the shit out of her. The smell coming from him reached her nose and she inhaled through her mouth. It reminded her of the time she'd found a dead mouse under her mobile home in Washington where she lived. It was faint, but the smell of death clung to him.
The feeling isn't mutual, Mitch. You took my dad from me.
He tilted his head, his cheek almost resting against the top of his shoulder, and it made him look even more inhuman.
He's right here.
Didn't my dad ever tell you that I had a rough life, being pulled around with him on his hunts? Kids made fun of me all the time. It was a bitch always being the new student at school. We never lived in one place for long. I was bullied until I learned how to fight back at a young age. It kind of gave me anger issues. His head straightened.
You won't be alone ever again.
That's the thing. I kind of like it now. I learned to never depend on anyone besides myself. Remember that anger issue I mentioned? I'm pissed, Mitch. You might be the big bad, but guess what? I loved my dad, and he was all I had left after my grandma died. I want to test a theory. Dad was big on those. JD opened fire without any other warning, the sound ear-splitting in the confined space. The first bullet struck Mitch in the forehead. He jerked back from the impact. She got three more into his chest before he fell. She turned the weapon on what used to be her father. His mouth hung open. He looked stunned as she shot him in the head. She backed up and blindly reached out, hitting the round red button on the wall. The gate slammed across the door as she fell backward, forgetting about the bed being in the way. It took her seconds to sit up and scramble toward the side of the bed frame, backing up into a corner far out of reach of the gate. She was aghast when she saw Mitch coming down the hallway. The healing holes in his chest were visible, and a dark red substance poured out of them before they sealed. She opened fire again, targeting his heart. He roared out in pain or anger, twisting away and presenting her with his back. The gun emptied and she popped out the clip, grabbing another one to slam home. She fired again. Mitch used the bathroom for cover, darting into it. What used to be her dad came down the narrow hallway next.
"Stop it, JD!" he yelled.
They weren't dying, seeming to heal in seconds. She struck Victor mid-mass a few times, sure she hit his heart at least once. He stumbled and crumpled to the floor. She held her breath, praying he wouldn't get up.
"You're making me angry,"
Mitch hissed from around the corner, out of her line of sight. She sucked in a lungful of air.
"You don't know what pissed is, fuckhead. Why don't you step out of the bathroom and stop cowering in there? I'll show you angry."
She glanced down. Victor still hadn't moved. She pushed back the grief and guilt over having to kill her dad. He had already been gone before she'd arrived. I put him out of his misery. She clung to that idea. It helped her keep her shit together. Crying comes later. Right now, kill the other bastard. Victor's arm twitched. Then she watched him attempt to sit up. She was glad she couldn't see his face. It made what she had to do easier.
"Oh, God."
She pointed the gun, aiming for his spinal cord, and fired into the back of his neck. He jerked once and became still.
"You're only delaying the inevitable,"
Mitch yelled.
"I'll make you pay if you don't stop right now. I'm offering to make you my wife."
"Were you nuts before you became a vampire? Now you're stupid and crazy if you think I'd agree to that. You're a walking horror show. Did I mention ugly too? You're disgusting, and you smell like a dead rat."
"You bitch,"
he shouted.
"I'm gonna make you hurt when I get my hands on you. You'll beg me to die. But that's not going to happen. I'll keep you around to watch you suffer."
JD wished her father had kept more clips inside his safe for the ACR. She removed one of the guns from her waist. She needed to be more careful with her rounds. Summer in this part of Alaska meant a lot of daylight, but it was still hours away. She had to survive that long. They couldn't get into the room, but that didn't mean they couldn't kill her if they had a weapon. The safe was empty, but they might have access to other guns. She was in a cage, with no place to escape gunfire directed her way. Mitch suddenly stepped out of the bathroom and grabbed the bars across the door. She pointed the gun at him while they glared at each other.
"You're going to bleed, bitch."
"How's the head?" She made a point of staring at where he'd taken a bullet to the forehead, seeing only blood but no gaping hole. "I'd ask you if you have brain damage, but you'd have to have one first, right? It doesn't seem like you do." He growled and his mouth opened, showing those sharp fangs.
"This isn't going to keep me out."
He looked down and started to shake the bars. They held, but slight popping noises sounded from the walls around them. She had a sinking feeling that with enough abuse, he'd bust inside. She opened fire, aiming for his heart. It might work if she totally annihilated the sucker, so she blasted holes into him. He slumped, dropped to his knees, but didn't fall over completely. Minutes passed. His chin finally lifted and he growled again.
I recover, bitch. Bullets won't stop me.
He got to his feet. They slow you down, though. I also notice you're not healing as fast as you did before. She shot him in the head again, and he jerked back, crashing to his knees once more. He didn't fall over, but he did bump Victor. Victor moved, turning his head. He stared at Mitch, then at her.
Dad?
She felt hope he still might listen. Try to remember your old life and how much you loved me.
You shouldn't have pissed Mitch off, honey. He's gonna have to make you pay for that now.
JD backed up and bumped the wall. This was a nightmare. She never should have opened the door to let Victor inside, but she had to know what he'd become.
I know now. I'm so fucked.
I'm your daughter, she made one last attempt. Don't you want to protect me? Fight him and get him out of the RV. Lock the door and keep him away long enough for me to seal it again. Victor's limbs were jerky as he rose to his feet. The wounds she'd inflicted weren't bleeding anymore. The only proof of his injuries were bloody stains and holes in his clothes. He did seem sluggish, though, as if being shot all those times had drained him of some energy.
I'm doing what's best for you. That's being with Mitch. We'll be together forever.
Who the hell are you?
She lifted the gun.
Don't talk to me. You break my heart. My dad is dead. You're a mockery of everything he stood for.
He hissed, and sharp fangs slid down from a row of what had been mostly straight teeth.
Don't talk to me that way. Go to hell.
She shot him in the heart and watched him fall back. He was only down for a short time before he struggled to sit up. Mitch began to rouse, too. She'd tested a theory, and it hadn't panned out. Shooting them in the heart and brain put them down, but it wasn't for long, and they seemed to heal from injuries regardless of how severe. Her gaze swept the room for a different weapon. There was another theory she wanted to test. The cabinets and the bed frame were made from wood. She placed the handgun down and lifted the ACR. It was out of ammo, but it would work great to smash shit with. She used the butt of the weapon and slammed it against the footboard, breaking off a jagged chunk. She gripped it and turned. The only problem was she'd have to get close enough to stab one of them, and that meant they'd be close enough to grab her.
Fucking great, she muttered.
She glared at Victor.
Couldn't you have equipped your armory with water guns filled with holy water? Some crossbows? I'd like those options right now way better.
He hissed at her. Chapter 3 Lavos tracked the female while Carr had gone after the male. They'd run into the vampires on the way into the canyon where the car alarm had originated from. The sound had stopped shortly after it had begun, or they might have missed the slight noises the couple had made traipsing through the woods. The vamp had long, tangled black hair and smelled as if she hadn't bathed in a week. He was glad it was easy to follow her by stench alone, since her dark dress and all the trees made it difficult for him to keep her in sight. The raspy noises she made when she ran helped, too. He'd finally gained enough on her when Lavos found himself on top of a crest, with the vamp below in a ravine. He dove, his bigger body slamming into hers. She screamed, and he focused on grabbing her wrists before she could scratch him as she tried to claw his face. Her fangs flashed in the moonlight a second before she attempted to bite. He threw his head forward, slamming it into her forehead. She cried out in pain, and Lavos felt guilt. Hurting a woman wasn't something he had ever done before, blood-sucking enemy or not. He cursed under his breath and shifted his weight, flipping her over onto her stomach as he released her arms. He fisted her hair at the back of her head instead, while he shoved his other hand against the middle of her back and pressed down with his weight. He lifted his chest, effectively pinning her down.
"Stop fighting," he demanded.
She struggled and made hissing noises. He thought of his brother and the woman he loved. Kira had been turned into a vampire against her will. They were the enemy, but he was glad Lorne had spared her life. The bloodsucker under him might have a similar story.
"Stop,"
he growled, allowing his voice to show his temper. She stilled under him and tried to twist her head. He eased his hold on her hair just enough to permit her to look at him. He studied her face, the veins showing along her forehead and cheeks. They were black, faint lines marring pale skin. What should have been the whites of her eyes showed a deep red of busted blood vessels. Fuck. Anger stirred, but he fought it back. It wasn't her fault, what she was. She spat dirt.
Let me go! Not a chance. What are you? Not like you. You're not human.
He shook his head.
Nope. I'm something worse. Let me go! Answer my questions.
She struggled again, but ceased when she realized she couldn't break free.
What do you want to know? How many of you are there?
Her gaze flickered away, seeming to frantically search for help. Lavos inhaled deeply, regretted it since she reeked, before shaking his head.
None of your kind are near. I'd smell them.
My kind? She fixed her attention on him. He hesitated before leaning down to get closer. He allowed his eyes to glow. Her features softened and she stared at him in awe.
That's beautiful. They're so blue.
Thank you. Your eyes tell me exactly what you are.
I'm a vampire. What are you?
He inwardly winced. Someone had been telling big lies.
That's not important.
She frowned.
Think of me as a peacekeeper. And you've been very bad by breaking laws. Do you understand? Killing humans is a crime. Did you know that?
We have to feed on them to survive. We have to kill them so they don't change into one of us.
Alarms went off inside Lavos.
Is that what your master told you? What's his name?
Mitch.
He'd never heard of the master, but that wasn't a surprise. The sound of gunfire jerked his head up, and he knew he'd run out of time. He focused on the woman, allowing his eyes to glow brighter.
I'm sorry. This is gonna hurt.
He stared deeply into her eyes, and she whimpered. To force his will on someone like her was painful for the one it was done to.
How many of you are there?
Five,
she whispered.
How many are older vampires?
Only Mitch.
Describe him to me.
He's tall, with black hair, and wears black clothes.
Her nose started to bleed.
Don't fight me. You'll cause your brain to hemorrhage. Do you understand?
A thin trickle of blood ran out of her ear next, and he was tempted to stop. But he had no choice. She was dead anyway. He couldn't allow her to live.
Did he kill everyone in the area?
There's a few people we couldn't get to.
He let go of her mind and eased some of the weight off her back by lowering until his elbow was braced on the ground.
You're not a vampire, sweetheart. Someone turned you, but they didn't do it all the way. You're what they call a soldier. You heal faster than a normal vampire, but it has consequences. You would have had about 6 weeks before you couldn't even remember your name. Your master could have turned you all the way, but chose not to. They're cold bastards by nature. You'd have felt sheer agony eventually, craving blood all the time. It's the curse he infected you with. It eats you alive, and no amount of blood can cure what's wrong.
Her eyes widened.
That's not true. Mitch said we're vampires. We'll live forever.
He lied. But I'm gonna make him pay for what he did to you. I give you my word on that. I'm gonna spare you from suffering.
Lavos felt pity as he watched bloody tears fill her eyes.
You're lying.
I'm not. Vampires look human for the most part. Have you seen your eyes? The blood in them is a giveaway. You're damaged. I can't put it any other way. Sometimes vampires make soldiers to increase their numbers to win a war, and then dispose of them when they're no longer needed. It's also how I can force my will on you. You were made mentally weak enough for a vampire to control. Your Mitch never meant to keep you around. I can't let you go. You'll become a danger to everything living and could expose secrets to the humans.
I am a vampire, she insisted.
He heard more gunfire. The people she'd mentioned must be a group of campers, probably hunters, and they clearly needed help. He wanted someone to survive this, and his best bet of finding Mitch would be where the blood was.
Close your eyes, Think of something good. I'm so sorry.
She struggled, and he lifted up, pinning her again. The quickest way to kill her would be brutal, but it would also be painless. He extended his claws and rolled over fast, taking her with him by keeping a hold of her hair. He slashed her neck as they twisted, removing her head. Lavo stood, resting the head next to her body.
I'm gonna shred you for making me do that, Mitch. Your throat is mine.
He couldn't stand to look at what was left of the first woman he'd ever had to kill. Mitch had lied to her about her future. Lavos had been brutally honest, and by killing her, he had done her a kindness. But it didn't feel satisfying. One glance up assured him what remained of the woman wouldn't be shaded from the sun once it rose in the sky. He spun, running at full speed toward the sound of random gunfire. He became aware of someone else running and caught a glimpse of Carr. They drew closer, glancing at each other. Carr looked killing mad, telling Lavos all he needed to know. Blood stained his shirt and hands. He dealt with the male bloodsucker. They stopped when they caught sight of the motorhome. It was down a hill from where they stood. The side door hung open, light spilling out from the interior. A truck was parked nearby. A gun blast came from the interior.
"Mine said there were five of them. He was a fucking soldier," Carr panted. "Mine said the same. She was one, too. Carl was a local resident turned 12 days ago by Mitch. I got a description. I also asked about that family we found torn apart. It seems Mitch knew them and held a grudge against the youngest member. That's why they were slaughtered. It wasn't for food, but revenge. Were there any remains of this Carl?" "Yeah. I dragged what was left of him to a clearing."
Lavos growled.
"Let's go."
He took a step downhill. Carr gripped his arm.
"What about whoever is firing that gun?" "I'm guessing it's a human who's seen too much, or maybe the vamps are torturing them with bullets. We won't know until we get down there."
"Fuck." Carr let him go.
"You know if we have survivors, we're gonna have to use mind control to make them forget. I'm not good with that. You have at least a little experience. Garson doesn't. That's why you're here and he isn't. I can probably handle any survivors, but I might need help."
Lavos jerked out of his friend's hold and rushed down the hill at full speed, only slowing when he got to the side of the motorhome. He hid to one side of the open door, Carr on the other. He held his breath to keep from betraying his presence to listen to what was going on inside. There were only a few windows on the motorhome, and all of them remained dark, something covering them.
"God damn it,"
a man complained.
"How in the hell do we get past that door?" "We can't. She stole the key, so I can't even put the shutters up to try to reach her through the windows. I had that gate built to withstand a Yeti,"
another man answered. Lavos glanced across the open space to gape at Carr. There was a speaker on the side of the door, and it was active, broadcasting what was being said inside.
"A Yeti?"
Carr mouthed, looking equally as confused.
"Huff and puff, asshole. You can't get in..."
The woman's voice was cut off by a single gunshot.
"Stop that!"
It was the first man who'd yelled.
"That was my hand, you bitch!"
"Then don't reach inside to push the button. It's not a release, moron. It's the trigger to close the gate. I told you that I'm gonna shoot anything you put between the bars."
"How many bullets do you think she has left?"
The first man sounded furious.
"I would guess maybe a dozen or less. We came here to do a study, not kill,"
the second man answered.
"I keep some weapons for protection from regular wildlife." "I'm gonna kill her,"
the one with the deeper voice threatened.
"I'm gonna rip out her fucking throat and watch her choke on her own blood before I drain her dry." "That's my daughter. You promised not to hurt her. That was before she decided to keep tearing holes into me. I've lost a lot of blood." "Boo-hoo!"
the woman yelled.
"Go away if you don't like being shot.
You should change your name to Whiner," she paused. "Or Wiener. Both apply, you dick." Lavos grinned. Whoever the woman was, he had to admire her spunk. Carr shook his head, lifting his hands as if to say, "What the hell?" One of the vamps inside roared out in rage and glass shattered against something. The woman screamed. Lavos had had enough. Less wary of the danger and more worried about her well-being.
Stop it!
The second man shouted. You
could kill her!
Lavos entered the motorhome by jumping up inside. The sound of voices had come from the left. One quick glance to the right toward the cab revealed no additional danger. But the sight of a tall, scrawny, black-haired vampire struggling with a short, wrinkled, white-haired one did surprise him. They were wrestling between the kitchenette area and a built-in table with bench seats. The taller vamp backhanded the shorter one, sending him sprawling onto his back on the table. The glass pitcher in Skinny Vamp's hand was chucked down the short hallway, smashing into something with a metallic sound. Both seemed unaware of Lavos, or the fact that Carr had also entered behind him.
How do you like that, you bitch?
The taller one shouted. Fuck you, dickhead! The woman yelled back.
You got me the first time, but now I have the comforter up so you won't cut me again.
What the fuck?
Carr muttered. The tall vampire spun around and Lavos lunged, grabbing him by the neck. The white-haired vamp struggled to right himself on the table, but Carr was on him before he could manage, slamming him flat.
Soldier, Carr confirmed. What about that one?
Fear was easy to read on the scrawny face as Lavos pinned the tall male against the wall, crushing his throat to keep him still. He stared into his bloodshot eyes.
Soldier too.
His eyes glowed and he punched into the soldier's mind, not feeling an ounce of pity for the one who'd threatened to rip out a woman's throat and watch her choke on her own blood.
Where is Mitch?
He eased his hold so the thing could talk.
I'm Mitch,
the man quickly confessed. Lavos lifted him off his feet, slamming his head into the ceiling.
I'm talking about the one who turned you.
His nose started to bleed.
I don't know.
Ask that one,
Lavos urged Carr.
Where's Mitch, the one who turned you?
Right there,
the white-haired man whispered. Lavos turned his head, looking at his friend. Carr shrugged.
I'm confused.
Lavos glared at the soldier in his grip, easing him down a bit but staring hard into his eyes, forcing his will on the bastard.
Did you turn others?
Yes.
Son of a bitch, Carr muttered. I didn't know they could do that.
Me either.
Lavos took a deep breath.
How many did you turn, Mitch?
4.
I'm starting to get a damn headache,
Lavos admitted.
Who turned you?
He never told me his name. He was injured on the road and I stopped to help him. He grabbed me and bit into my neck, then he had me drive to a house in this area. He took my blood and forced me to drink some of his. I passed out, but when I woke a couple hours later, I watched him drink from the 2 people in the house and he made me feed from them too. I was tired afterward and went to sleep. When I woke again, he was gone. I knew he was a vampire, and he turned me into one. That's what we do. We turn others who are worthy of being vampires.
Where did you pick this guy up from?
Near Pick. I go out there with some friends to get high.
This is fucking great,
Carr cursed.
Some vamp created a moron he left behind to take out a small town. I want to find this bastard.
Lavos tried to think.
Shit.
What?
We missed a vamp in that raid.
You mean when we went after the asshats who took Vesso?
Yeah.
An injured vamp who wanted a ride to the nearest town?
Think about it.
Damn.
Lavos dropped the tall soldier, then slammed him hard against the wall, damaging it in the process of knocking him out. He reached into his back pocket and removed a set of reinforced specialty handcuffs. He dropped the bastard on the floor and none too gently flipped him over, securing his wrists behind his back.
We're gonna need a detailed description to track the vamp. I wonder if he paid any other towns a visit.
Fuck. We could have a shitload of soldiers making other ones. It's a nightmare.
What about this one?
Carr kept the other vamp secured on the table.
Kill it outside.
A slight noise drew Lavos's attention and he peered down the hallway. The sight of the woman staring back at him from behind bars came as a shock. It looked as if the room was somehow caged. Her brunette hair was long, untamed waves, her light blue eyes wide. He lowered his gaze to take in the black shirt revealing some appealing cleavage. His attention wandered to a narrow waist that flared out at hips wrapped in snug jeans. The handgun she pointed at him at that height kept his focus, plus the fact that she had two more guns holstered to her body.
"Who are you?"
He recognized her voice. She'd been the one giving the two soldiers verbal hell. He flicked his gaze back to her eyes.
"Lavos, I'm law enforcement. Are you okay?"
Her blue eyes narrowed and her luscious lips curved downward. "Try again, handsome. This time, keep it real. You toss that dickhead around like he was a marionette doll after the dozens of bullets I put in him couldn't keep him down." She thought he was attractive. Lavos smiled. That was the first bright spot of his evening. He stepped over the unconscious soldier, but paused fast when she lifted the gun, aiming it at what he estimated would be his heart. "Stay back." She turned her gaze on Carr. "That used to be my dad you have on that table. I'm not sure what the hell to call him now, because he's not the man I knew. I'd appreciate it if you could hold off on dragging him outside to kill him just yet. I'd like to know who you two really are first." She'd witnessed too much and had become guarded. Lavos didn't blame her. Intelligence shone in those pretty eyes of hers, and he hated to do it, but he needed to find any remaining soldiers before they attacked other innocents. He allowed his eyes to glow as he stared at her, waiting for her to look back at him. She did, and he saw her shock when she instantly noticed the change in his eyes.
"It's going to be fine. You can trust us. We aren't here to hurt you. Put down the gun and stay where you are. It's safe. Lay down on that bed in there and take a nap until you hear my voice again. I want you to have peaceful dreams about your favorite childhood memory."
Chapter 4. J.D. had missed seeing them enter, but she'd heard it all. She dropped the comforter that had shielded her from flying glass shards cutting her skin when Mitch had begun his rampage of showering her with anything breakable he could fling at the bars. The biker and his pal wearing the trendy club threads had handled the vampires as easily as if they were rag dolls. They were both in shape, with those muscles and thick bodies. Both of them looked like contenders for fighting. Often. The biker wore black leather pants with a matching muscle shirt stretched over a buff body. Dark stains on his chest were probably blood, and he had some on his hands. His blonde hair almost hit his shoulders, and it had some curl to it. He had gorgeous hair. She doubted they were vampires, with the deep tans they both boasted. His good looks were model-worthy, but he had enough masculinity not to be a poster child for any of the magazines she detested. He had to be about 6'2" and probably 240 pounds of solid muscle. His eyes were stunning, with their bright blue color. But with the way they glowed as he spoke, J.D. was assured he was something not natural. No human could do that. Those eyes were gorgeous enough to almost make her stop listening to what he said. But the words penetrated. "I'm not tired. And why don't you start telling me what you are?" His lips parted and she studied his mouth. No fangs showed, a good sign in her book. He had nice teeth, white, and it looked as if his parents had sprung for braces. His mouth was the only part of his face that became unattractive when he clamped his lips together into a tight line, showing off a faint dimple in his chin. Her gaze rose to once again appreciate how odd yet striking his incredible eyes were. She'd bet they'd literally glow in the dark.
"Shit," his friend whispered. "Shut up," the biker snapped, never taking his gaze off her.
She raised her other arm and pushed back her hair from one side of her face where it had fallen forward. His nostrils flared and those eyes of his seemed to grow brighter. They reminded her of a blue neon sign over the bar at her job.
"So, what are you, Bright Eyes?"
She was ready to leap back if he came at her.
"I'm racking my brain here, but coming up blank. Those kick-ass boots you're sporting are at least a size 14, but you aren't hairy enough to be a Bigfoot,
and you're too tan to be allergic to the sun. That's a bad joke. Sorry. I'm trying to remain calm.
My name is Lavos.
He watched her closely. You're bleeding. She ignored the blood sliding down the side of her face near the ear her hair had been stuck to. Tell me something I don't know. Like what you and your friend are. Not human, with those sparkler eyes and that super strength. Aliens, maybe? Please don't be that. I laugh at those people who say they've spotted little green people. Of course, you're not little or green, but you see where I'm going with this. No ass probes either. Not my thing. Club Threads got her to glance his way when he chuckled. He smiled, and she was glad to see his eyes look normal. She stared at the biker again. I'm glad that your friend thinks this is funny, but I don't. I'm having a real bad night, Lavos. She used the gun to tap the bars. I'm claustrophobic on top of it all. And armed. Not a good combo. Plus, there's the whole horrendous thing with my dad. Start telling the truth, or I'm gonna see how many bullets it takes to put you down.
We're not aliens,
he stated. Good.
We're really law enforcement, but not one you'd know about. I tried to embed suggestions into your mind, but you have a very strong will.
Is that why your eyes are doing that mega bright thing? Stop it. She was relieved when his eye color returned to a nice-looking blue that didn't freak her out.
You're better off not asking questions, his pal said. The more you know, the more dangerous it is for you. We have laws to follow. I said, shut up,
Lavos growled. It was a very animalistic sound, reminding her of a guard dog. It was a hint that JD jumped on. Werewolves? Both men looked at her in an alarming way that had her taking a step back. Okay, I like dogs. Wolves are good. I can handle that way better than aliens. She focused on Lavos. Please tell me that if you kill the master vampire, it will return my father to normal. Or is that movie bullshit? He was either brave or stupid. She wasn't sure which, with her guns still pointed at him. But he took a step closer. His shoulders were broad enough that both sides of them nearly brushed against the hallway walls.
I'm sorry, but there's nothing we can do for him except stop him before he tries to kill again.
His statement dashed her hopes. You don't know for certain if he's killed anyone.
It's irrelevant. Everyone in this region is dead except you and perhaps a few others, if they were lucky enough to find sanctuary. This bunch did it. It needs to end before they travel to another town and kill those residents. There's no way to cure or bring him back from this.
That news devastated JD, but she believed him. There are at least three more that I've seen, plus my dad and the one you have on the floor. She stepped back and sat heavily on the bed, placing the handgun on the mattress next to her. Do it. She lowered her head, staring at her lap. Please don't make the one who used to be my father suffer. He was a good man. He wouldn't want to live at the cost of innocent lives being taken.
J.D.!
Victor sounded outraged.
Don't do this, honey!
She winced and wrapped her arms around her waist. Pain squeezed at her heart, but she didn't beg the two strangers to release what used to be Victor Trollis.
Take him outside,
Lavos ordered.
You heard her. Make it fast and don't allow him to suffer. I'll be out in a few minutes. Wait there. Okay,
his friend replied. JD closed her eyes, hating to hear the sounds as her father was removed from the RV.
He wasn't a vampire.
That soft, masculine voice had her peering up at Lavos. He'd come closer, right to the edge of the bars to grip one of them with his hand. His other one was hidden behind his back. She should have been afraid, but she didn't jerk away, pretty certain he couldn't reach her. She had nowhere to hide if he possessed a gun. She said nothing, waiting for him to speak.
He was a soldier.
He said he was a vampire.
Vampires can create these kind of halflings they call soldiers. Do you want to know more?
She hesitated, stood, but kept back from him. Not really. He frowned.
Why not?
I heard your friend. Knowledge is dangerous, right? He moved slowly, withdrawing his hand from behind his back. She held her breath, expecting him to point a gun at her, but instead he fisted a plaque her father had kept hanging in the hallway.
"Explain this to me."
She knew the words inscribed on it since she'd been the one who'd bought it. "What do you want to know?" He glanced down at the writing, then back at her.
"Best bump in the night, Hunter. What does that mean?"
I was 10 at the time and didn't know how to say paranormal / legend tracker. She shrugged. "That's what my dad did. He and his research team searched for things like you and that asshole who changed him into a monster." She didn't miss the way Lavo seemed to slightly pale. He returned her gift to her father to its hook on the wall. He kept his back turned away while he took a deep breath. It made her once again notice his broad shoulders. He slowly faced her. The grim look on his features didn't bode well for her.
"That's why you were in the area, hunting for vampires? Were you looking for anything else?"
"You mean werewolves? No. I'm not a part of my father's team." She paused, realizing her dad had to be gone by now. "He called me a couple weeks ago and begged me to come visit. I had to arrange time off for my job and caught a flight this morning. I got a rental and drove here. I made it right before the sun went down, and he showed up a little bit ago the way he is now. Was. Whatever. The dad I knew was dead by the time I got here." She shifted her stance and got a look at Mitch. "The dickhead behind you is moving. Don't those things ever stay down?" Lavo spun, took a few steps, and made JD wince when he brutally brought his boot down on Mitch's head. She swore she heard bones break, but no sympathy welled. Lavos returned to the gate as if he hadn't just bashed in someone's head.
"He's not moving now."
She had to give him points for having a sense of humor, twisted as it was. "You didn't answer my question. How do you kill one of those things?"
"Remove the head and it dies forever." "What were they investigating?"
She debated answering, but he'd saved her ass, at least for the time being. "From what I understand, someone reported seeing vampires. They came to check it out, but they lost contact with their source on the way here. The team captured 4 of these things, but then they somehow managed to escape. I'm not clear on all the details. That moron on the floor got a hold of my dad after that. The rest of my dad's team is locked inside a trailer they use as a headquarters for these little hunts. They're alive, or were, recently when I spoke to them via a tablet." She hesitated. "It's on the table behind you in the kitchen area." He walked back down the hallway and lifted something. She couldn't see around his body, but he turned, holding the electronic device so she got a good view. It was smashed, the screen shattered. Her father had probably broken it when he'd been thrown onto the table. Lavos dropped it and returned to the gate. It was unsettling to watch his expression harden and his eyes start to glow again. But the sight was equally fascinating.
"You can remove your weapons and lay them all down."
"Not a chance. And your eyes aren't working on me." The corners of his mouth curved upward for a second.
"It was worth a try."
"Are you gonna kill me?" The seconds of silence had her guts twisting. He finally shook his head.
"I see no reason to if you help me."
"I'm not opening that gate across the door. No way, no how."
"It would be difficult for you to help me otherwise. Have you seen the 5th soldier? We located a man and woman in the woods, then what used to be your father and Mitch behind me. That's only 4. You said there were 5. 1 is missing."
"I got a good look at 3 of them when they were attacking the research team in the trailer. I saw the feeds from their cameras. Then those same 3 came over here to try to get into the RV before I hit the panic button. They took off after that. High-pitched sirens don't seem to be their thing. Victor and Mitch didn't show up until after that. I could describe the 3 I saw to you. Would that help?" His mouth twisted into a grim line.
"They recorded these attacks."
She debated telling him the truth, but decided to be honest. "Yes."
"Shit.
Are you gonna kill me and my father's team?" Last I saw, all three were scared shitless and only wanted to get out of this mess alive. They bit off more than they could chew. Pun intended.
I don't like to kill anyone, unless I absolutely have to.
So what's the verdict on this mess?
I like you.
Is that gonna save my ass? He seemed to relax a little, and the harsh expression faded.
That depends on a few things.
Name them.
She didn't want to play games. We have laws.
That's what Club Thread said. He looked perplexed.
Why do you call him that?
Open pirate shirt, slacks and black shoes. He looks like he belongs at a dance club in Miami or something, instead of out in the woods. He laughed.
His name is actually Carr. Our laws are clear. We can't allow the outside world to know about us. You're smart enough to understand why.
History, she muttered. You don't want idiots coming after you, trying to burn you alive. Witch hunts, only the werewolf updated version.
Exactly. But with modern weapons, it would be a lot worse than being tied to a pole and lit on fire. You're taking all of this extremely well.
You obviously can't read minds, or you'd know I'm freaking out on the inside. But it's not a nightmare I can wake up from, and I'd like to survive. That means keeping my shit together. Lavos stared at her and gripped the bars with both hands. She tensed, expecting him to test their strength. He didn't tug or jerk on the metal, though. Instead, he loosely held the bars between his fingers.
We don't kill your kind unless they pose a threat. We protect them from assholes like the one on the floor stirring behind me, or the vampire masters who made them. Keeping our existence a secret is priority number one. Do you pose a threat to me and mine?
His words and their meaning sank in. I see no reason to ever tell anyone what actually happened here tonight. I've heard about vampires since I was a little girl, and you won't find any news footage of me being interviewed about their existence. I'm also pretty sure I've seen a few over the years. I got the hell out of Dodge.
Excuse me?
I used to love to go dancing, but not after I thought I'd spotted a couple vampires. They're hard to distinguish unless you know what you're looking for. I decided club hopping wasn't good for my health, to be on the safe side. I didn't even tell my dad. He and his team would have gone after them and gotten themselves killed a lot sooner. Live and let live is a good motto. I still can't believe they found any out here in the middle of nowhere.
Your father wanted to prove their existence, right?
Yes.
But you didn't. I find that hard to believe.
You didn't have my childhood. It was hell. Everyone knew what my dad did for a living. They made fun of me. I was always the freaky kid with the nut job for a father. I like having a normal life and not being the poster child for weirdness. Is that so tough to understand? The last thing I want is for more people like my father ending up with his fate. I kept telling him it was dangerous. Pain rose and she fought tears. Look where it got him. That wasn't the man who raised me that you saw. My dad would have done anything to protect me, but that thing wanted to hand me over to the dickhead behind you. He's trying to crawl toward the door, by the way. Lavos released the bars and strode back down the hallway, grabbing Mitch and hauling him to his feet. He pushed him toward JD, but stopped at the bathroom. He shoved him inside.
Stay put and be still, or I'll rip your fucking head off.
Lavos closed the door, then addressed her.
I'm hoping your father's team aren't immune to my eyes. I can wipe their memories and send them safely home. I'll need to destroy any evidence they have, too. Otherwise, there's no guarantee how this is going to end. They do this for a living in hopes of proving our existence. But you see the problem with that. I would like your help.
What do you want me to do?
I'd like for you to talk to your father's team into calmly meeting me.
She was immediately leery. You could kill them.
Your immunity to my eyes is very rare. I'm hoping they're able to be memory wiped.
He blew out a breath.
I don't want to kill anyone except bad guys.
I don't trust you, she admitted.
You don't have a choice. You're intelligent. There's no cell signal in this area, so you can't call for help.
He touched the bars.
These wouldn't protect you if I really wanted in.
That gun would hurt me, but I'd survive. You saw how fast those things heal. I'm stronger.
She swallowed hard. I don't have silver bullets. He grinned.
That's cute.
I take it that's a bullshit TV myth, too?
Bullets hurt no matter what they're made of, but I have no allergy to metals.
He reached up and gripped a chain around his neck, lifting it from beneath his shirt. A thin silver ring hung from it.
Want to guess what this is made of? It belonged to my grandmother. I wouldn't keep it against my skin if it burned.
She stepped closer but kept out of his reach if he put his arm through the bars. You actually expect me to open this up so nothing's between us?
I'm willing to trust you to keep your silence. You're going to have to trust that I won't hurt you. We need to work together if you want to save your father's friends.
J.D. studied his eyes, trying to judge if she could believe him. It was a tough call. This is going to suck if you're lying to me.
I'm not a bloodsucker.
You know what I mean.
I promise I won't hurt you.
What about club threads?
Carr takes orders from me.
Can I keep the guns? He glanced down at her weapons, then back at her.
Fine. But I'll warn you now that I have no sense of humor when I get shot. Am I clear?
Crystal.
Just the ones in the holsters.
She gave him her back and walked to the other wall. Her heart felt as if it wanted to jump out of her chest. She hesitated over the release button, but then pushed it. J.D. turned, her entire body tense. The gate slid open. Lavos didn't lunge forward, but instead calmly stood there regarding her.
Let me grab this asshole and we'll go outside. We need to find the last soldier. I'd advise you to stick very close to me in case it attacks.
He backed up.
And I strongly suggest you start calling Carr by his name. He's been a bit testy tonight. We didn't expect this mess when we were sent out to bring a message to a family that hadn't contacted their mother. We thought a storm must have taken out a few telephone poles.
It was tough to take the first step toward the open doorway. Lavos turned his back on her, opened the bathroom door, and reached inside. He jerked Mitch out and shoved him forward.
Run and I'll kill you,
Lavos threatened. J.D. wasn't sure if he spoke to her.